truth is, I am Iron Man.
Lieutenant Dan!
Inconceivable!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hi, welcome to Flicks and Clicks. This is Keelan Cienfuegos, and today I am joined by Micah and Tyler. And today we are going to be doing an episode kind of as a farewell to the PS4. It's been out for about 7 years. It came out on November 15th, 2013. And it is November 9th, 2020, as we are recording this right now. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about stories. It's kind of all up in the air. This is going to be more of a candid episode where we just kind of bounce ideas off each other about, you know, what was cool, what we were going through throughout these 7 years and how we've changed. So I'm very excited to talk to these guys about it. First, I want to start off with how we all came to own a PS4, because I think those stories are going to be a little different for each person. So if one of you guys wants to start off with how you got one, go for it.
Can I suggest an order? I think we should do Micah first, you second, and me third, because that's the order.
That's
in which
the order we got them. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down.
I also want to say, Tyler, welcome back, dude. It's been a long time since you've been on.
I know. I feel like you guys excommunicated me a little bit. I was actually feeling kind of hurt. I cried
every night before bedtime. No, we're really excited to have you back. You're actually scheduled, whether you know it or not, to be on quite a few in the next couple of months. So I'm happy to have you back. I know we were all kind of going through a busy time there, mm-hmm. and we were just doing some different things scheduling-wise. So anyway, super good to have you back.
Works out for me because I was majorly busy teaching online and trying to make that work.
Whoops.
So.
Yep. Good. Well, is it good times? Maybe, sort of.
We're making it good times.
This is November 9th. And the Xbox Series S and Series X comes out November 10, and the PlayStation 5 comes out November 12. So we're like there. Yeah. If you're one of the people who got to pre-order the PlayStation 5, like Tyler and I, then just like us, you guys are very lucky. If not, and you're just kind of waiting to see how it pans out, great. If you're wanting one, then you're with Keelan.
Yes.
Keelan. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll talk more about PS5 later, I'm sure, but PS4, goodbye to PS4. I first got my PlayStation 4. I didn't realize how soon I got it. I wasn't up on new technology and when it came out. I was still skating by with my PS3, enjoying it. But I did a little bit of research because I did not remember the exact day that I got the PlayStation 5. Turns out I got it 6 days after it released. And so that's very soon. And I didn't realize it was so soon. But...
Sorry, you said PS5. It
did
was
I?
PS4. Yeah.
I first got a PS5 this coming Thursday. No.
I have had a PS5 for 7 years. Yeah. I don't know what people are freaking out about.
I don't know, man. I've had that ray tracing for a long time. I meant PlayStation 4. I first got the PlayStation 4 on November 22nd, 2013. I remember that because the 24 Hours of Happy by Pharrell Williams was going on. So my brother and I, Derek and I, went to Best Buy. We went to GameStop, and I picked up a PlayStation 4, and I got Killzone Shadowfall, and I got Battlefield 4. And we went back to our parents' basement and we're hanging out, and I was loading up the new system and it was really awesome. And Derek was watching the Pharrell Williams 24 Hours of Happy. You guys remember that? The happy because I'm happy.
Yeah.
That was a big thing at Little Caesars, wasn't it, when we worked there?
Yeah, but that was just because I was obsessed with the song. Everyone was like, please shut it off after like the first hour, but I kept it going. And I think even maybe you were like, please stop. That's fair.
I do remember you liking that game or that song a lot.
It had good memories, man. I just realized, I was like, no way, they're going to play this song for 24 hours. Whereas most people would be like, that's crazy and terrible. I was like, that's crazy and awesome. So anyway, Derek was listening to the 24 Hours of Happy and was just watching the video. And I had my own TV kind of set next to the living room TV that was in the basement, and I was playing Killzone Shadowfall, and that was day one for me. I didn't realize that it was so early, but I remember it was during the live stream of the 24 Hours of Happy, if not the next day. And the live stream started on November 21st, that Thursday. And so November 22nd, I'm pretty sure, is the morning that we went and got the PlayStation 4. So that was me, man. Apparently, I was a very early adopter. I did not remember that, but there you go. November 22nd, oh, 7 years ago. Holy smokes.
Do you still have that PS4?
No. Nope.
Okay. So no, you've graduated.
I traded it in for a PS4 Pro about 2 years ago. Okay. Year and a half ago. But I had that PlayStation for like 4.5 to 5 years. It was a long time.
There you go. So everyone telling us that be careful, the launch one's going to have a lot of bugs. PS4 came out running pretty hot, so.
Yep. Used it for forever. And when I traded it in, it was with no defects or anything. They took it for full price.
I remember it was probably a lot quieter than the new PS4 Pro, and at least my experience. My goodness.
The PS4 Pro sounds like a spaceship.
I can't believe you got that early. I did not even think you were going to say that early. I thought it was like maybe a couple months later.
Same.
But that's like a week after it came out.
It is, yeah. Dude. I did not realize. And I didn't even realize at the time it held me out for 6 days. I was just like, oh, look, the PlayStation 4 is out. I had recently played Battlefield 4 with my friend Shane at his house, and he had like this double monitor or triple monitor setup on his gaming thing. And he was playing Battlefield 4, and I was like, wow, Battlefield 4 is really cool. So then I got a PlayStation 4 with Battlefield 4 and Killzone.
Was he playing on PC?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Yep.
That's crazy. And so I do remember you getting it early, but wow.
But wow. Yeah, I didn't realize it was so early either, but apparently it was.
I remember you being pretty flush with cash at the time, too, because you were, that was the year, so let's go back real quick. So 2013.
Mm-hmm. 2013.
That's right in the smack in the middle of my senior year, our senior year, right? Or is that the next?
Nope. No. 2012 was our senior year.
Yeah, that's right. And so 2013, Yellow Swag, 2013 was when we graduated. So it wasn't months before Yellow Swag 2012.
This is like 2 months after your freshman year of college started.
2 months after the first semester. Yeah.
And it would have been for me, but I took that gap year to finish some other things and work my butt off so I could afford a PlayStation 4, apparently.
And it was a gap year in a sense, but you also finished up college classes, so
true,
it wasn't entirely a gap year. But that lines up with what I thought better, because I thought you got it while I was gone.
I did,
because I don't remember ever playing it when I was back at home, but that lines up better, so that makes sense. I just didn't do the math right. 2013 is the year we graduated, but it was November 15th, 2013, so I was already gone.
Right. Yep. We graduated 2013 in June.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess I'll go next with how I managed to secure a PS4. I don't remember the specific day or month. In my mind, it was November, but that's not the case. No, I think it was by 2014, by some point, maybe March, February or March. It might have been February, and it'll make more sense. I did not buy it. I did not steal it. Let's make that clear. But I was shopping with my girlfriend at the time, and we were just kind of exploring. I don't think we were planning on buying anything. And then we were in Target or Best Buy or Walmart or something, and we walked past the PS4, and I was like, oh, man, cool. And she said, do you want it? And I said, yeah, I just can't afford it. And she's like, I'll buy it for you as long as you pay me back. And I was like, oh. That, okay.
And this is like, this, you know, this is like, you're not like boyfriend and girlfriend, like, you're like 16, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think at that time we had been dating for
probably barely able to drive each other to the mall.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyway, we made out a deal to, for her to buy it and then me to pay her back, and I was the opposite of Mike. I was not flush with cash, all right? And so our plan was, it was going to take probably about 6 months for me to pay this thing off. I was working at a part-time gig at Little Caesars doing pizza and stuff, and I remember coming home with this big box that had the PS4 in it, and my mom was like, "Wow, what is that?" And I was like, "Oh, it's nothing. I just got a couple new games."
She's just like, a big box.
Yeah, she's like, that's the new PlayStation, isn't it? I was like, yeah. She's like, you can't afford that, can you? And I was like, well, here's the thing. I didn't buy it. My girlfriend did. And I'm working to pay her back. And luckily my parents, you know, they trusted me enough to pay her back. And I did, and everything was fine. But yeah, and I remember the version I got came with GTA 5 and The Last of Us Remastered. Two games that I already owned on the PS3. And so I had the PS4 and I played games that I already owned on it for a good bit. And I remember I felt kind of stupid because for probably about a month or two, I was playing my PS3 still more than my PS4 because there were a bunch of other games on there.
I just want to point out, there's something. So The Last of Us 2 or The Last of Us Remastered didn't come out for PlayStation 4 until July 29th, 2014.
So then that
it must have
been
it must have been after summer that you got it.
Wow.
No, it was in the summer. And the reason I know that is because I know that day. I remember the day you came home with that thing. I remember it was either right after the summer or it was in the summer. So I either saw it when I came back for Thanksgiving or something. I don't know. But the box and everything was still in the room. I remember that. Maybe it was right after the summer.
I kept the box for years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If you don't know, Keelan and Tyler are brothers.
Yes.
We are.
Blood brothers.
Mm-hmm. Like blood. Like real brothers. Mm-hmm. Sorry, continue.
That's basically the end of the story. Yeah, so I got the PS4. I was very excited, but I was playing games that I already owned, and I was for a good bit I was playing the PS3 the same if not more than I was playing the PS4. But I was happy to have it. I love the new controllers, so that was cool. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to add something really quick. I didn't do that. Like when I got my PS4, I didn't go back. Like I went back maybe a couple of times to get like a few platinum trophies, but I didn't go back for fun ever. Like once the PS4 came out, I was all PlayStation 4.
You did go back for one title, because there's a title I'm going to mention here that came out post launch of PS4 that we both platinumed, or at least we both enjoyed.
Jak and Daxter.
Well, that might be one of them. I'm not sure when that one came out, but Kingdom Hearts 2.5, that came out the year after the PS4 relaunched. And so.
There you go.
But while this is happening, we all know each other. We've known each other for a very long time.
Especially you and Keelan, since yes. You're brothers.
Almost my whole life.
But while I mean, this. But also, I've known you guys since we were all...
It's almost my whole life.
Since we were all like 3 feet tall, I've known you guys. So I guess it's pretty much the same.
True. So while this is all happening, you listeners out there, I was at college with no PlayStation at all. Because I had left the PlayStation 3 for my brother because I wasn't allowed to take it because it was bought by our parents. Meanwhile, he goes ahead and buys a PlayStation 4. So I'm like, what's the dealio, y'all? Everybody's got multiple PlayStations and I ain't got a single one. So I went actually that whole first year of college without a single PlayStation. I roomed with Brett and I played his Xbox 360. I played Gun Game on Call of Duty Black Ops, and that's all I ever played if I played video games. So, and that was fun, but still, the Platinum Race had already started at this point, and I had an entire year where I did not get to get Platinums unless I was home with my family, which was fine. I ended up getting Platinums anyway.
Yeah, like, didn't you get like three of them in like a 2 month span?
Yeah, because I was home with my family.
I remember every time he would come home for break, it was like a big it was fun to watch. He was like, okay, I have a plan to get this platinum or this, or you know, like and I was in because we shared a room. Our sister was still living in the house, so when he would come back, we were still sharing a room, and so I was there for a lot of those moments. That was a lot of fun. But
It was probably the most calculated I've ever been in terms of the platinum race, because I had to be, because I had to, like, it was literally like months of like looking and researching and knowing what to do so that when I got there, it was just like, boom, 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 get a platinum and I'm done. I'm out.
Awesome.
So anyway, in terms of me getting a PS4, I went a very long time. So it paid off to go that year, because I went a very long time not needing one, to be honest with you. That 1 year without a PlayStation was a bummer, but probably a good thing, my freshman year, not having it there as a distraction or anything. But then, and I was able to keep up in the platinum race, thank goodness. But then Micah moved in, and I'm going to do a quick succession. We're going to go through all this still, but Micah moved into Corbin with me. He had his PS4. I remember seeing it for the first time the year he moved in with me. So you had Destiny 1, and that was a big deal. And I remember being like, graphics are insane. It's amazing. And we can talk more about things about Destiny 1 when we get there. But then I mooched off of his PS4 for a long time. I mooched off my brother's PS4 when I was at home. And so I never had my own.
And mooching, like, you're like using my PlayStation 4 and my games to get your platinums.
That's right. That's right. But at the same time, to be fair, I think I maybe got one or two platinums on your PS4, like on your PS4, because I got a few on Keelan's. But then also during those years, I was backtracking getting platinums on the PS3. Remember when we did this episode, I had way more PS3 platinums because it was my only option. You were playing on your PS4 and I would be just over right off to the side playing my PS3, getting as many platinums as I could. And I got a few of them, if I remember correctly, after the PS4 came out, quite a few, from like Prince of Persia to the two Kingdom Hearts games that we released and all those. So, but then it wasn't until my senior year in college, y'all, can you believe that? It was my senior year at Corbin. So I still had a whole nother year there after that, but that I got a PlayStation and I got the Slim, and that's, yeah, so I got the Slim, and then, or was it? Yeah, it was my senior.
Well, you
year.
Also bought a PlayStation 3. Like, I already had a PlayStation 4, and then you bought a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, because what happened, my freshman year, I was like, well, that's kind of lame. Like, I kind of want a PlayStation, so I bought one, because I knew that you would have the PS4, but you would want to play the PS4 most often. Keelan had the PS4 and the PS3. Keelan, you said you played the PS3 more than you played the PS4, and that's why I didn't actually end up taking it that second year of college, is because you were still using it very regularly, and you got dibs because it was still in the family home.
Yeah.
And then, so I bought my own PlayStation 3 off of a friend's girlfriend at the time. And then...
So many connections with girlfriends and consoles. And
PlayStations. Yeah, but this is different because I bought it from her. Okay.
So did I. It just took a little bit.
True.
This could be yours with 6 easy payments.
I know. We had a payment plan and everything.
Oh, my God.
Was there interest?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Well,
no.
Okay.
No. I might have had to take her on a few extra dates or something, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds rough.
That's expensive.
I know, dude. Going on dates with your girlfriend.
So I ended up getting it, yeah, my senior year in college, and I bought it with my own money. And I just wanted to say that one more time.
Kind of salt in the wound.
And then ended up upgrading, like, probably just barely a year later to the PS4 Pro, and that's where I'm at now. Which will be very shortly sold off for me for the upcoming PS5. I put it on Craigslist, y'all. I don't know if I told you that.
Wow.
For $6,000? Because you coated it in gold, right?
Yeah, I also got several platinums on it, and so that really ups the value.
Oh, you coated it in platinum. Got it.
Yeah.
Reminds me
That's
of people.
Awesome.
Oh, okay. It reminds
Did you
me
spill
of
spill something?
I have my notepad on my phone, and I exited out without saving on accident, but it's still there. Anyway, that reminds me of people who would sell their RuneScape accounts with a certain amount of levels and gold, and they would sell it. Actually, if we're talking about PlayStation, this is a little bit of a side tangent, but one of my really good friends from elementary and middle school, his brother, back when the PS3 came out and it was $600 and just ridiculous, he got it by selling, he traded a RuneScape account for a brand new PS3. So he traded a RuneScape account, which is a free, I guess he was a paying member, but anyway, he traded that for a $600 console. Insane. Totally crazy.
Yikes.
Dude, that's insane. Wow. That's an investment right there.
And I think he did it all through like bot coding and stuff. So I don't think he actually played that character. He just had his computer running while he was like asleep and stuff, and it leveled up for him. But
Anyway.
That's like a full-time job, man.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. This is where we'll kind of just be like throwing out our own topics and what we want to talk about. Really quick, I want to talk about something that's very synonymous with my PlayStation 4 experience is I was visiting when Tyler and Micah were roommates in college. I visited Corbin, and this was 2016, the spring of 2016 when I visited. And by that time, the first new EA Battlefront had come out.
You visited and stayed with us in Davidson?
Yes, yeah, I think nice. In April. I think I came two times that semester.
True.
Once to visit and once to send in my application and everything. I had gotten Battlefront, and we'll talk more about that year 2015 to 2016 because there's more I want to talk about in terms of my schooling and the games that I bought during that period. But Battlefront was one that I had for a while, and I thought it was fine, and it was, you know, cool. But I played with some of my friends back home every once in a while, but it wasn't anything that like was really fun for me until I was visiting you guys, and you guys had the whole dorm basically playing Battlefront together. And it wasn't just like, okay, there's four people playing and everyone else is doing their own thing. There's four people playing, and then there's like 6 to 10 other people just watching you guys play, trading off controllers and all this. Oh, it was such a fun experience. And it breathed new life into that game, which I thought was a fine game, but it wasn't until that moment and onward where I was like, no, this game's actually something really special. And then after that, when I went back home and I was playing my PS4 and everything, I would hop on with you guys, and it would be, I just had like so much more fun after that experience. And that, I paired that also with Rocket League, because I think that was another big game during that time where those were like the two dominating games, at least for me, or what I saw from you guys. It was so much fun, especially with Rocket League, because that game has a lot of licensed music in it, music that I do not normally listen to. But after playing it with you guys and exploring more of that game and playing it on my own, so many of those tracks from that game made it to my playlist, and I would listen to them especially when I was going back and forth from Corbin and home. That was like the soundtrack that I would listen to was Rocket League. And those two games were such a big part of like the community aspect of why I like fell in love with Corbin or Davidson, and specifically really great memories with those two games. I know you guys, since I was visiting you guys, I know you have a lot more stories probably with Battlefront and Rocket League in terms of how it was in Davidson and Corbin. But
I remember Battlefront. We got it, and our neighbor, Kyler, was like, he also got it, and we were like, oh my gosh, this game is going to be so fun. And we end up like never playing with him. but because he had it on Xbox, so that's obviously, you're right, Keelan, we always had people in our room, and it's not because we played four people at a time or even two people at a time. We played online one player when we played Walker Assault, like exclusively. We'd play the big map that's got 40 people on it and, you know, 20 on 20, and you're going, and there's objectives, and we'd switch off every life. Like, we die, we hand the controller over. We die, we hand the controller over. If it was like a quick death, like 30 seconds, we're like, nah, get another one, you know? Sometimes guys would come in and play for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Sometimes there would be 5 or 6 guys playing, and Tyler and I weren't even playing. Like, we were like doing homework on the other side of the room, and they were just there playing. Like, they'd come in while we started playing, like, because That was kind of the rule. Like, we wouldn't let people, except for a very select few people, go in there and play without us there, because we always wanted to be there, like, to fire it up and turn it off. And so we'd fire it up and start playing. And like, yeah, let's play a few rounds of Walker Assault. We're switching off. I'm the only one who has a PS4, so we couldn't double screen at that point. And then, you know, Jeremy would come in. And then sometimes Chico and Wes would come in. And everyone would just start playing. And we'd be switching off. And then we would, like, leave. And they'd still be playing. Yeah. And then we'd get back from, like, dinner at, like, 7:30. And they never went to dinner and they're still playing.
Like, well, that's the thing is, we did, like, rotations. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We had, like, one group leave. And the other group was like, no, we're not going to go yet. Okay, cool. Yeah, you go play. We'll go to dinner. We come back. We switch off.
Yes.
They go to dinner. We keep going.
Totally. Yeah, it was awesome. And then how did we... Because we played... double screens at some point, didn't we?
We never played double screens, but remember Rob ended up getting a PS4 that Christmas for Christmas, and then or maybe it wasn't even for Christmas. I think his parents just bought it for him. And then they got Battlefront with it as well. And so then we had them playing on the other end of the hall, and they would have some people in their room, so that split the group a little bit, and we would just
play with all of them. That was so good. And I had surround sound in my room, and the subwoofer. There's a specific grenade called the Thermal Imploder in that game. And if you throw a Thermal Imploder and you're hanging out on janky TV speakers, it's like, pew! Like, it sounds pretty dope. But when you've got a subwoofer and surround sound, you can feel the thing, especially when you're in, like, a 10x10 dorm room with the subwoofer 2 feet away from the perfect spot on the couch for the surround sound. And so that experience of the Thermal Imploder was like, anyone new to the game would come in and start playing and they'd be like, wow, this is pretty fun. I'd be like, no, 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 throw a Thermal Imploder. And they're like, okay. And they'd throw it and you'd be like, and the whole room would just like implode, just like it says. And everyone would, and you'd have them sit in the specific spot. We had this janky old couch that used to be in my parents' living room from like 1990 when they moved in. And it would shake the frame of that whole couch. So you literally were feeling the whole thing. Yeah, it was pretty great.
And that Thermal Imploder was also like the dinner bell. So it would go off and then everyone would like come over the door like, Battlefront?
Yeah, totally. Jeremy would be like, I can hear the Thermal Imploder from like 6 rooms away.
Yeah. We definitely got noise complaints that year too.
Well, it didn't help that we were right above the counseling center in that same building.
There was literally
a counseling room where people would go into a counseling room to like speak to a counselor about the things that are going on in their lives. Counseling's great, right? But you need like zen and quiet for that. And there's a fat sub with Thermal Imploders like right above
literally something blowing up.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, a lot of good memories. You also talked, Keelan, about Rocket League. Mm-hmm. And that was very similar. But that was more of just Tyler and I would play Rocket League. Because that game's a lot more involved. Like, you kind of need to have played it a little bit to jump in. Like you said, because Battlefront was so simple, it was really easy for anyone who's ever played any shooter to jump in for a life or two and enjoy it and have a lot of fun. But Rocket League was like, if you're not, even if you, like, if you can't steer your car and get the like differences between hitting the ball and jumping and all that kind of stuff, if you can't get that stuff down, it's not very fun. So that stuff to say, Tyler and I played quite a bit of Rocket League. We played quite a bit of split screen. That was a lot of fun because we could both play something at the same time, didn't have to switch off. And we played split screen and had some pretty epic, like, 0 seconds on the clock, hitting it from across the map and it going in for us to win because we were tied. We've had a couple of those that I still have saved.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're still on there. I transferred them over from my other PlayStation to the PS4 Pro. So
yes,
they are pretty legendary. So there's some good memories on Rocket League, too. I still play Rocket League now and then, and it's awesome now that it's cross-platform. Because I play with my buddy Josh, who's on Switch quite a bit. So,
that's a great game.
Yeah, Tyler and I's our brother-in-law is a beast at Rocket League.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even know
no,
that.
He's insane. He every time
no way.
Every time he excuse my voice crack. Every time he comes over, him and our sister come over for dinner or something, we talk about games and he asks me about like streaming or podcasts or what games I'm playing. And let's say he comes over every other week for a barbecue. He'll jump a few like ranked standings, wow. Whatever you call them. I don't know the terms because I'm not huge on Rocket League. And I know recently once it went cross platform and became free to play for everyone, the rankings changed and they added more, but he was very high up there. And no, he talks about it a lot. Rocket League is, yeah, like you were saying, I would say it's easy to pick up and play. But if you want to be, you know, you want to play in the big leagues, you got to put your work in because those guys are insane. It's for anyone who doesn't know, it's like Hot Wheels soccer. And you can jump around.
Indoor soccer.
Yeah. You jump around and mainly, at least for me, you would drive and you hit the ball. Sometimes you would jump there. I think there's a double jump and you would jump and you would like flip to hit the ball or whatever. And that's like the extent of my skill. You look at some of these, like, let's just call them Major League Rocket League players. They're flying through they position their car in the right way. They use boost at the right time where, I mean, they're flying and they can.
And dribbling the ball in the air.
Yeah. And they're rotating, the ball is staying where they want it to. And they do, it's insane. The amount of skill that goes into that game. If you want to play with the big guys, the big boys.
And
it's crazy.
And one of the things that makes that such a very difficult gap to close is the fact that boost is limited. So you don't have unlimited boost. So you literally have to, the people who are pros are so, they have such a subconscious knowledge of where all of the boost pickups are that when they're driving around the map, they're just picking them up. It's like they have unlimited boost. They don't, but they play in a way where you're like, do you ever not have boost? They never run out of boost. So it's crazy, and they can serve it really well. It's very impressive. That's one of the first big ones to go, like, I'm pretty sure it's one of the first ones to go major, like, league gaming, you know.
In terms
shout
of,
out,
like, games that
shout
run
out
consoles,
to Adrian.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adrian. If you're listening, Adrian, you're the man. He would jump on and play some trios with me and Tyler and would literally, like, dribble it in the air and then drop it right in front of us so that we would score goals. What? He's like, yeah, I'm just trying to help you guys rank up. He was just so good. He tried to go pro for a while.
One of my favorite memories from Rocket League involves you two, and it's when we would be playing together, and there's a chat in the game where you can – I think there's some quick options where you can
– Yes.
You can do like good
great
shot
pass.
Or nice, yeah, great pass or anything.
Great pass.
But I think you can make your own sayings and then put them as your shortcuts. And one that always sticks out is – I think Micah did this. It's a quote from Pirates of the Caribbean where Jack Sparrow's like, yeah. Stop blowing holes in my ship.
Yes.
And so anytime we would do anything cool, we would just spam that. And there'd be just that you would see the chat and then like the top left corner. And it would just
be like
line.
In all caps would just be quit blowing holes in my ship. And
so
people would be like, what?
Dude, that was actually not like you couldn't set the presets. It was just that. There was like
the
language
text.
Remember thing, the predictive
yeah.
text.
And because so I had just typed it like at least twice, just the same way, it would predict what it was.
And so you'd get the first word in there, or the first letter, and then you'd hit the first word, and the next one would pop up. It's just like,
another one we had was sliding in to steal your goal.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other ones. We had some ridiculous ones.
Living La Vida Dollar Bill was one of them as well.
Yes.
Oh, man, that was so much fun. And like I said about the music in that game, I think it changes
it's
from
it's
like season to season, but it's very upbeat and it just gets you in a mood, you know.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Let's see. Moving forward, there's one thing I want to talk on before we get like further on in like the timeline, and that is the 2015 to 2016 in terms of like the school year. So like around September 2015 to May ish 2016. I was going.
Can we?
Oh yeah, go for it.
I'm sorry about this, but we did skip an entire year. So can we go back? I just have one story from the previous year, and then we can go into that.
Absolutely.
And that would be totally fine. So there's a story I have for the year that Micah and I moved in. where, first off, do you remember, Micah, we stocked our little mini fridge, like classic college students. We had a mini fridge and we stocked that thing full of Dr. Pepper.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking, there was not an inch.
Like 30, like 36 cans in there and nothing else.
Well, 36 cans and six bottles. We even got the glass bottle Dr. Pepper.
We like as had, a special we like occasion. Had Dr. Pepper cans just like for your average everyday leisurely drinking. And then your glass bottles for when we were like really kicking it.
Yeah. And do you remember we saved those? And we actually had those only on special occasions. It was like, yep. Oh, I just turned in a big test. Ding.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Tapped the bottles together. And we
or had... if we like had a date with a girl or something, we were like, oh, true. Ding. You know?
Ding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Yeah, we totally did that. Anyway, that's a side note, though. This is the story that I wanted to tell. So.
Is this the donut story?
Not the donut story.
Okay, then I also have a story. You go ahead.
You can tell the donut story. This is a story that you should probably tell too, in all honesty. But as we mentioned before, when we had people in our room to play the Battlefront games, it was a spoken rule, actually, that you don't start up the PS4 unless Micah or Tyler is there. And then Micah would give you, if you were close enough, very, very specific special permission to be able to do that. So like the only other person I can remember that's ever gotten that permission is Zach Labounty.
And Luke.
I don't know.
Luke Grafton.
And Luke.
Yep.
Luke Grafton. That's right. So, and then I had it by default.
Obviously. Yeah.
So, but that came about because the very first year when you had your PS4, still relatively new, your PS4 is still relatively new. Destiny just comes out and people were playing Destiny. It's super cool. And there were a couple people that came into the room and just started playing Destiny while we were in classes or out or whatever. And so we came back and like people were just in our room, just using your PlayStation, not a text, not an email, not a nothing indicating that they were going to be doing that. And it was, I think, a rough day for you too. So that was a double whammy.
I was pretty pissed.
Yeah. So you came into the room and you were like, you guys need to get off this right now. You cannot do that. I remember
I remember that conversation. Yeah, totally.
What did you say? No, you go ahead because you're the one who...
I think I was like, this is not okay. I was just, I'm a very assertive person who is opinionated. I mean, I'm, you know, I hope people would think. But there came a line like, I know those two guys, if they would have shot me a text and been, hey, can we jump on your system and play this? I would have shot him a text right back, said, yeah, man, for sure. Just turn it off when you're done. But they didn't. That was what got it. A lot of people, I really don't care if they go in and do it. I just need to know that they're doing it.
Yeah.
So,
and I totally understand that.
I don't want to show up to my room and my PlayStation's on with no one in there. I'm like, okay, what in the world? You know what I mean? Cause I have no idea. And even though we went to like a conservative Christian university, still was just like, I wasn't afraid they were going to steal anything, but I was just like, not okay.
Well, it's not even the fact that, oh no, my PlayStation is on and it shouldn't be on. It's even just the respect of the matter. It's like, you just, if it's someone else's stuff, dude, just ask.
Seriously.
And Keelan, you've had experience with that.
Yeah, I mean, so to give some background to it, Tyler at the time was an RA. So in the hall, his room, him and Micah, they were the guys to hang out with or to talk to and stuff. And so
but this was, just to be clear, sorry, this was the year before that.
Oh.
So we weren't the people to talk to.
Okay. Yeah,
so
that's, we weren't the
so
RA.
Even gotcha. More even more so it was like, what are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, it was like come in if the door's open, but don't come in if it was closed. And the door was definitely closed. And then
we
opened the door and they were in there. And I was like, whoa, yikes. Like, what are you doing?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, I have some similar experiences, but I think I might have overdone it when I became an RA, when I was trying to set out boundaries. Boundaries was a huge thing that we learned in like training and stuff. And so I really wanted to be on top of that because I didn't want to get burned out or anything. I was pretty set on saying, okay, you know what? You guys are welcome to play. You can hang out in my room, but just, you know, maybe ask before. And I think because it was so early on in the year when I said that, I think it gave people the impression that I didn't really want people in my room. anyway, that's a whole nother story. But
well, it's a hard balance to strike because, like, the second year to be, like, the next year after that, literally, Micah has never had to say that is the thing.
And I never said no to anyone who, like, would jump on unless I was about to get on and be like, nah, actually, I'm going to play right now. Because it was my system. Like, you know what I mean? I drew the line.
Or there was a select few days where it's like, no, we're not going to have that happen in here. It's going to be a homework time or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so it was just like a respect thing. But I thought, I remember that experience so well because I was like, ooh, yes, I'm going to police that just in case because I want to make sure that I keep that as a respect level for Micah too. But
and that's an important thing, and especially in college, you need time to relax, and you know, especially for like homework and stuff, and you know, having people go in and out using all your stuff, you know, after a while it gets a little taxing on you, and then so yeah, boundaries and some quiet time is definitely very necessary in that scenario.
Yeah, I have one more story. I know it might seem like a lot of these are like, well, they're not talking about PS4, but to us, these memories revolve so much around PlayStation 4 and playing video games that this is like what we were doing. And this is why, honestly, it's kind of bittersweet to be in this place where we're saying goodbye to PlayStation 4 where that we've played for 7 years. Like, that's a really long time.
I think it's the longest gap between PlayStation consoles so far.
It is. Yeah. And if you think about like, we all love gaming, all of us do. And we've had so many good memories gaming. And if you just think about the last 7 years and all the good memories, all of those were PlayStation 4. All of them. And so that's why we're doing this episode. So all of that to say, I have one more story that might not seem like it has anything to do with PlayStation 4, and doesn't. But I just am going to share it anyway because it's still in the point. So this is day one of Corbin, me moving in with Tyler. Day one for me. This is day one of Tyler having Micah as a roommate. So his second year. We got all our stuff set up. Everything's set up. My mom had bought us some donut holes. And do you remember this, Tyler?
No, our which parents, is why I'm our, about to laugh.
Our parents were at like a parent meeting. So I think your parents were like, I don't know where they were, but my parents were at like a orientation parent meeting, and they were all helping me get moved in and you get moved in and us settled and all that good stuff. Well, we were just eating donuts, sitting on the couch, and those units had a ceiling fan in. Do you remember now?
Yes.
So we had vaulted ceilings and a ceiling fan. So our ceilings are probably 10 feet high, 10 or 11 feet high. Like they're high up there. And I'm holding the donut hole, and it's like September. Like it's like the middle to late September, and it's hot. Like it's like 95 degrees. So we've got like the windows open. There's fans going. Our ceiling fans going just to get airflow.
August.
Going. August, yeah.
No AC in the rooms either.
No AC in those rooms, yeah. So we're hanging out, eating donuts, like, just hanging. And Tyler holds a donut and, like, puts his eyebrows up and looks at me. And he looks right at my eyes, looks at the donut, looks up at the ceiling fan, and looks back at me. And I go, do it, man. And he throws the donut hole up into the ceiling fan. And it hits, our ceiling fan was like on high, hits the ceiling fan, and it hits the wall like, pit. Like it makes this sound like, pit. Like it just whacks against the wall. And there's this grease mark, like a circular inch wide grease mark on our wall for the rest of the year.
That's right. We never cleaned that. We
never cleaned it. And it was there.
Because it was
like,
so
it would,
high
like,
up
collect
the wall.
More dust than other places. And we were like, remember that's where we hit the donut on day one.
That's hilarious. I totally forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me that.
It was completely nonverbal. Completely nonverbal. Tyler, we were eating donuts and like, you know that thing like when your mouths are full and you're just kind of like enjoying each other's company if you're a bro and you're just like, yes. You know, like that's what you're thinking. Like this is the best. He grabs a donut and looks right at me. He's got another donut like in his mouth, like he's chewing and he looks at me, looks at the fan, looks back at me and the donut. And I'm just like, do it, man.
Do it, man.
Because I knew hilarious. Exactly what he wanted to do. So yeah, that's my story.
Oh, that gives you a really good idea of our friendship. Because that's I think true. That's hilarious. You think that's hilarious. Keelan, you think it's pretty funny. And like, people listening are like, that is ridiculous.
Awesome. So 2015, okay. 2016, Keelan, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, this is more specifically to me. I don't know if anyone would really be able to like super relate to this, but I graduated spring of 2015, and then I didn't really know what I was going to do after that, and so I was going to community college, and I started in September of 2015, and it lasted until, I think actually June of 2016, if I remember the quarters correctly, but so I was kind of, you know, I was still living at home, and I was thinking, you know, I don't really know what I want to do with my life, where, you know, what I want to study, where I want to be in 5 years. I wasn't like, I didn't know. And so I was going to community college, which is very viable. And, you know, we had everything set up. We had, you know, grants and scholarships that I applied to. And then we also had FAFSA. And we're like 3/4 of the way through the first quarter. And I get this email that's like, hey, your refund is going to be mailed to you soon. I was like, huh? Refund for what? I didn't buy anything. Like, what's going on? And I guess, you know, my scholarship / grants or FAFSA or something exceeded the amount that I was paying to go to school. And so I got a check in the mail for about $2,000. And I was like, that's interesting. Hey. Like, is there a catch? And no, there wasn't. I was like, that just goes right back into my bank account. I was like, okay. And then next quarter, the same thing. The quarter after that, the same thing. So I was getting paid to go to college, which was really cool. And being a, you know, an 18-year-old, what better way to spend that money than on collector's editions for various video games that were coming out that year? You know, depending on when you listen to this, this might seem super cheap or it might seem regular, but the price for video games back then, you know, $60, which is a fair amount, I think. It's been $60 for a long time. I think now things are moving to $70. You know, who knows, you know, a couple years from now, it might go up even more. Anyway, for these games, $60 for the base game, for the disc only. And I was spending like $150 on every game that I bought. So I could get the art book, the statue, the soundtrack, the posters, the steelbook edition. Like I wanted all of it. And you know, I was thinking, like, I was working at the time too. And so the way I saw it was the $2,000 per quarter that I got would go straight to all the fun things that I wanted. And then I could use my money from work to pay for gas, phone, insurance, all that stuff, you know? Which is not a smart, it's probably not the smartest thing to do, but at the time,
but it sounds
awesome.
Like a blast.
Yeah. And so that time period of, I don't know, maybe 8 months or so, I was getting collector's editions of games, and I didn't get the collector's edition for every game, but I was getting them for the games I was very excited for. And then I was still buying the $60 versions of whatever game I thought would be fun, you know. During that time, I bought Overwatch when it first came out because I heard that people liked it. It was not a game that I was interested in, but I heard it was really good. So I was like, you know what, whatever, spend $60 on it. What does it matter to me? You know, I'm making $2,000 on scholarships, you know. I ended up really loving the game and all that, so it worked out. But I bought so many games during that period, and I have a bag of all the statues and the art books and the soundtracks of, I have Nathan Drake, I have the Ember Knight or whatever from Dark Souls 3, I have the art books, the soundtracks, just all of it. That was such a good year for me collecting things. Granted, I haven't put, I mean, they're literally in like a paper bag in a room that I don't even sleep in. It's just kind of tucked away. But eventually, I'm sure, I hope that I'll have like a desk that I can put those figurines on. And
dude, and you should set them up behind you for your streams.
I would love to, but I can't set them up on a bed, you know.
Yeah, true.
Once I get my own place, I'll make a streaming setup that actually has, you know, things in the background for people to look at. But that was a really good year, and I remember that time period, 8 months or so, it was Uncharted 4, Dark Souls 3, Fallout 4, Overwatch, MLB The Show, whatever year that was, 2016, I think is the one I got. The new Ratchet and Clank. Just so many games that I bought when they released, and I was like in it when people were playing it, and it was hot, and it was just a really fun time. And I was going to school with people who were also buying those games, and we were talking back and forth. It was a really good period of gaming. That's awesome. History for me. But yeah, and then one more really quick thing before I move on, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to put this into the conversation and have it be natural. But there's this game called PT that was released, and I don't remember when it released exactly, but it was just randomly released by the studio that no one has ever heard of, actually. And it kind of took the PlayStation world by storm. It was a PlayStation exclusive, and people were like it was a horror game, and it was just like a short. It was free. You would probably spend like 2 hours trying to complete this whole thing. And it was really creepy. It was just one hallway that looped around, and you just kept going, and things would change, and there's like this weird creepy ghost, and it was a huge thing. And if you follow, let's say, Konami / Kojima within the past 5 years or so, you'll know there was a big falling out. Kojima is this very, very smart game developer who he was in charge of the Metal Gear Solid saga for its entirety. And then, like, basically towards the end of the production of Metal Gear Solid 5, he was cut off from Kojima, which is the publishing branch, and he was, like, excommunicated, and his name was removed from everything. He was the guy who made PT, which you play it and you realize that PT stands for playable teaser. It was a playable teaser for Silent Hills, a new Silent Hills game. It was a huge, huge thing that happened in the PS4's life. And to beat it, you had to, like, it was like really cryptic, and sometimes you had to use a mic and you had to say a certain phrase like 5 times in a row for you to be able to move on to the next section. And it was just really creepy, and there was this whole fiasco that happened once Kojima was fired from Konami. PT was removed from the PlayStation Store, and then it's unable to be downloaded. You can't get it anymore. And why I want to bring this up is because I've been upgrading my hard drive for the past couple of years with PS4. I still have a hard drive with PT installed on it. It's tricky.
So do I.
Yeah, it's tricky because I can't install that onto my PS4 Pro because the firmware updates and everything, it won't allow that. You have to install it into an OG PS4, and you have to install it with either the firmware update that, you know, was at the same time that PT was released or before. Otherwise, it'll be, like, removed. Or it's something really weird. That's a whole nother thing to talk about. But, yeah, I've kept that hard drive. I don't think I'm ever going to use it. I doubt I will be able to sell it. But for a while, people were selling hard drives with PT installed on it for a lot of money because it was such a fantastically made horror game that really was like just a small slice of what could have happened. And then that whole, you know, that whole fiasco with Konami and Kojima, it kind of screwed everything up. And we'll see. Kojima went on to make Death Stranding, which was a PS4 exclusive. And who knows, he's working on another one that might be Death Stranding 2. It might be a horror game. It might be whatever. You know, that guy's a genius when it comes to game design. But that's just something I wanted to talk about. I didn't know when I was going to be able to bring that up, so I wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, PT was... We played that in the dorm too, Tyler. We played that a lot on Fright Nights. That was terrifying. It was sketchy.
Can I go English nerd on this for a second?
Oh, please, yes.
So, this game is the scariest game of all time for me. And the reason why is... First off, it's very well made. Super, super well made. I think the fact that it never became a full game is actually a good thing because it makes the integrity of that game still stand up.
And if you think about like the graphics of like The Last of Us 2 and how good they are, that's almost how good these graphics were in PT. And it was
they
like,
were really good.
They were very, very good.
Mm-hmm. And there was like a whole bunch of... There was a many, many things that were worked into this game that were completely randomized, and sometimes things would happen that you've never seen before, even if you've played the game like 20 to 30 times. And then on the 31st time, you're like, dude, I'm just going to go in. And then there's like a talking bag, bloody bag with a head in it that says something else that you didn't know. And it's like, what? So there was a whole bunch of that kind of stuff. But also, the story surrounding it makes it that much scarier to me. Plus, because it's Kojima, if you don't know, Keelan told me about this, but in the first Metal Gear Solid, or one of the Metal Gear, is the second one?
The first one,
the final boss that you play in that game, yeah, you have to move your, or one of the bosses you play in the game, you have to move the controller port from number one to number two, because you can't beat the boss if your controller is plugged into player one. You have to move it to player two. So that literally is who we're dealing with here. So that's a fourth wall break. That's a fourth wall break. Go ahead, Keelan.
There's another thing that they implemented in Metal Gear Solid 2, which I love. That game, it's tactical espionage. So think Splinter Cell or you know, whatever. You play as a spy, and you're communicating to your chief and everything through a radio, and you talk to different people, and there's different radio signals. So, you know, the general might be 106.7, and you know, the other person might be 93 point whatever. And then, like, it might be halfway through the game. The disc that I played Metal Gear Solid 2 on was scratched, so I could only get a certain amount, so I never got to this point. But it was, you had to call someone on a specific radio wave, and it didn't tell you what the number was. And whenever you asked someone about it, they were like, no, it's on the back of the case. And you're like, the case of what? And you're looking through your items, and you're like, I don't know what the case is. You have to look at the game case, and there's a little screenshot on the back of the person you're supposed to call with the number.
No!
Yeah, it's so,
oh my gosh.
It's so clever. That man just...
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
The fourth wall breaks are
oh my
on
goodness.
Such a next level for that man.
So, and it shows in PT too, because one of the things you have to do is find these little fragments of a picture. That's one of the things that you can do. They're little collectibles, and you find them throughout the game in the hallway in various places. One of them is located in the pause menu. You have to do the look at something thing when you're in the pause menu. That's like, no one,
it doesn't allude to that at all. There's no like tutorial or any hint that that's how it's gonna be.
No, exactly. And so that aspect of it, plus if you go, I encourage anyone listening to this, if you're interested in a very, very interesting game, there's only one person that I know of who's actually cracked the code of this game. Like, people don't even know, still to this day, 100% for sure. Kojima's never come out and told people, like, yeah, this is the solution to the puzzle. But one guy thinks he's cracked it, and the guy who thinks he's cracked it, dude, his video is like 15, 20 minutes long. Go look up how to crack the code for PT, because his explanation is so in-depth. Like, you have to look at, you know, like Keelan said, the game was released under a different studio name. That different studio name is part of the solution, potentially. The picture that they released it of is like this weird picture of like trees, and nobody knows how that relates to the game at all, but it's also part of the... Oh my gosh, it's so good. And then you factor in the fact that this game was never made, that it just kind of went out into the ether. Nobody can play it anymore, right? That's freaky. That's the scariest game ever, because aside from the fact that it's a horror game, lots of freaky things are surrounding it. So I don't know. That's just, I'm kind of in love with the story of that game.
I've beaten it once. I do not know how I beat it. I just got to the ending somehow. And I did all the things that people were saying at the time. This was like when it first released. I was saying the things in the mic multiple times, like chanting it, because that's what people said got them the win. I was doing the specific movements. I was, you know, touching the radio, the pictures, opening the doors back and forth. All these things that people were saying were what would, you know, let you win the game. I don't know which one worked. I just know that I tried all these different ideas, and for some reason, one of them worked.
I can't remember the name of the guy, but if you look it up, it's probably the most viewed video. And to my knowledge, Micah and I have tried it multiple times, and it seems to be the solution. It seems to be.
But
so you have to
it
have
also
a mic
didn't,
plugged in.
It also doesn't work every time. And there was some specific parts that we were like, okay, but this worked last time, but that didn't that time. And so, but then you'd try some other things and then it would work, but none of those things were suggested by anyone. It was like these random things that we tried. So it's an enigma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. PT, that game's sketchy. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Well, we still haven't gotten out of the, like, for Micah and I, at least, we haven't gotten out of the college stage. So we still have a lot of PS4 lifetime to talk about here.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so I just want to name a few games that I played early on. Risogun was like, I think that was like pre-loaded on PS4. Or it was free and on PlayStation Store that you could get. It's like a cool side-scroller type. It's kind of like, what's that game, Tyler? That's the famous...
Galactica?
It's kind of like, or Galaga.
Galaga, that's...
Yeah, it's sort of like Galaga, except you're scrolling side to side instead of up. Like, you're shooting side to side instead of shooting up, basically. And so you go and... You have to save these humans from getting abducted by aliens, and yeah, it's all in this one little area. It's really cool, super visually stunning, and the music was cool. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, I played a lot. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag and Lord of the Rings Shadow of, I think it's just called Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. Those two open world games I played a crap ton of. Like a lot. Assassin's Creed Black Flag was quite a bit earlier. No, maybe not. Shadow of Mordor was pretty early. And then Middle Earth Shadow of War, the second one, I also played those. I just have lots of good memories with these games. Like memories that are like, we've talked about memories where you're playing games with other people and you share that kind of camaraderie that way and make good memories playing those games on PS4. Well, these were games that I played by myself. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, when you're like sailing the sea and you can choose what sea shanty that your crew sings as you're sailing the ocean. I've never felt more like a pirate than playing Assassin's Creed 4. Not even in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland or watching all of the Pirates of the Caribbean with a marathon. I've never felt more like a pirate than I did when I was playing Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. And the platinum to that game eluded me because you have to be level 50 on the online to get it. And the online for that game was trash and was horrible. They shouldn't have even made it because the single player was so much fun. But anyway... Yeah, so those were just a couple other games. Also, Infamous Second Son. That was visually stunning when that first came out. I think that came out like early, like 2014. It was like a launch title. You know, didn't launch with the system, but came out, I think, in like January or February the following year. So just a couple months later. That game was a blast. Visually stunning. And Troy Baker was the... what's his name? Desmond?
Delson.
Yeah,
Delson.
Oh, Delson. Yep, oh, Desmond is from Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it totally is. But yeah, so those are games that I played early on that I had, as well as Destiny 1, but I think maybe we'll talk about it, maybe we won't, but those games I think I played early on in like the first half of PlayStation 4's life cycle that I enjoyed and really just like sent me to other worlds. So I loved those, have tons of good memories of those, and I'm excited for those same sort of memories on PlayStation 5, whatever games they may be.
For me, is one of the big ones for PS4. I actually didn't play until like a year ago, which is Horizon Zero Dawn. I remember watching you play it, and I was like, "Oh, I want to play that game. That one looks sick." So that was one of them. Definitely Second Son for me. Final Fantasy 15. That was the first game I played when I actually got my PS4. Really good game. And literally the reason that I got a PS4, like knew I had to get a PS4, Kingdom Hearts 3. I knew I had to get a PS4 because of Kingdom Hearts 3. Because I also had like a slight bit of hope that maybe if it did get released during the time that I didn't have one, that it would come on the PS3, because Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 were released on the PS3, even though the PS4 was already out. In fact, 2.5 was on the PS3 and not on the PS4, which is kind of crazy. And then they released them both later. on the PS4. But I like every once in a while I'll listen to Face My Fears, which is like a song that came out with like the last trailer after years and years and years and years and years of trailers for Kingdom Hearts 3, thinking it's going to come out maybe next year, maybe next year, maybe next year, maybe next year. The last trailer, I remember watching it with Melanie, my wife, which this also happened in these 7 years getting married, watching it with my wife going, this is the last trailer. Like, I'm going to get this game very soon, and I've been waiting for it for a long time. I listened to Face My Fears literally this morning because I was thinking, wow, like I have, this is the craziest thing, I have more fond memories getting ready to get that game than I have playing that game, which is stupid.
Same.
Which is just kind of stupid, but that's just how it ended up being. When you have that many years of buildup, there is no way they can meet people's expectations. I think maybe the next mainline Kingdom Hearts game, if they actually stay on top of it, might hit something that I'm happy with. But like, and Kingdom Hearts 3 I was happy with in the end after the remind, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, anyway, Kingdom Hearts 3 is another big one for me. So
14 years between Kingdom Hearts 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3. There's some, you know, middle episodes or little like side off stories that are great in their own right, but they a true sequel to Kingdom Hearts 2. Yeah, 14
freaking You're talking years. Like you're talking like a human being growing up.
Yeah.
Is how long it took.
Being born and then getting their driver's permit.
Basically. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I was in middle school. I remember very, very clearly being Kingdom Hearts 2 for the very first time in middle school.
I remember when you gave me Kingdom Hearts 1 for PS2. You bought it. I had a PS2 and you had a PS3 at this point. And you were like, you have to play Kingdom Hearts. And I think I'd played it like once or watched you play it on your console. And then you got it for me for my birthday 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And we played it. Yeah, it's so fun.
Good times. Very good times. And I remember looking up, trying to find Kingdom Hearts 3 for years and years. I remember looking up the box art with the PS3 symbol on it, because remember, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out for PS2. So then PS4 is when it finally ended up coming out. But there was mock-up box arts that had PS3 on it before the PS3 had even come out. All the stuff happened.
There was a secret video on the final mix version of Kingdom Hearts 2, which at the time when it came out in PS2 was only available in Japan, if I'm correct. And it showed a teaser cinematic trailer for a game that went on to be Birth by Sleep, which is a Kingdom Hearts game that only came out on the PSP until the final mix versions were remastered and put on the PS3 and PS4. But for me, I always thought, oh, that's got to be Kingdom Hearts 3. There was a character that looked a lot like a character in Kingdom Hearts 2. I was like, that's got to be Kingdom Hearts 3. And so all the, you know, whenever you would look on YouTube at the time for Kingdom Hearts 3, it was usually that trailer or something revolving around those characters. But
listed as Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, trailer. And the funny thing is that game takes place before all of the games. And so like it was just funny how all that works out. And you know, say what you will about Kingdom Hearts 3, at least it's out, and it looks like there's going to be some cool stuff moving forward, hopefully. We'll see.
Kingdom Hearts has the most ridiculous, confusing, hard-to-follow, wonderful stories that you will ever come across.
You know, there is a new Kingdom Hearts game coming out in a little bit, Melody of Memory. It's a rhythm game.
In fact, I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow.
Oh, are you serious? Yeah, it's pretty... Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a mobile game?
No, it's a
full-fledged $60 game.
But they use the graphics of the original PS1 and PS2 games, and so that's great.
Well, whoops. I would like to say, so I do follow a lot of Kingdom Hearts people, and to be fair, Melody, although it's not a combat game like a normal mainline Kingdom Hearts game, Melody of Memory is set to be definitely worth a $60 purchase, and the reason why I say that is because the sheer number of tracks on that game is very impressive. And they built like a rhythm. They built a nice rhythm game. I don't know if you guys have played the demo yet. I downloaded the demo and played it. It's actually a lot of fun. Okay. I'm not going to buy it, but it's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in a rhythm game, at least.
And it's all Kingdom Hearts tracks. And Kingdom Hearts has arguably one of the greatest soundtracks in video game history, in my opinion. Fantastic.
Yep, yep,
and it covers all the games, the mainline ones and the side ones and the Game Boy ones and the PSP ones and the DS, all of them. All the standout tracks are all going to be on there. So,
yeah, and I'm sure that when Flicks and Clicks does an episode on our favorite games, when I think you're scheduling that one, Keelan, with a couple other people to do, I'm sure that game won't be mentioned. Or if not, of them.
Kingdom Hearts will be mentioned, not Melody of them.
Yeah. No, yeah, but Kingdom Hearts in general will be mentioned in that for sure. Awesome.
I still want my Kingdom Hearts episode, just saying. Okay.
That would be really good.
Oh, true.
We'll put that on the list for sure.
Let's do it.
What are we at? We're at like a minute 15, minute 16. There's a big topic that I want to talk about on like how we've changed. I know you two specifically have gone through a lot of life changes from, you know, when the PS4 was released and to now. But that being said, if there's anything that you guys want to talk about before we get into that topic, I would say bring it up now so that we can discuss.
Yeah, I've got a couple. Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, Skyrim coming out again on PlayStation 4.
And you platinuming it again.
And me platinuming it for the second time, yeah. These are games that, you know, they really suck you in. And there's some really, you know, there's not a lot of games that I have as fond of memories playing by myself as I do, like, Battlefront or Rocket League that I've played with you guys, but those are some of them, because the stories are just, you know, you'd be sitting there and something would happen in the story and you'd literally like put your controller down and just like put your hands in your head and go, oh my goodness, like it's like a new Netflix series that's everyone's raving about, but you're playing it in a game and you know you can't really talk about it with anyone because no one else was there. Anyway, so those were a blast. And then Destiny 1 and 2, I think in particular, I for some reason, they meld together, and I don't really remember Destiny 1, like, much at all. I do remember Destiny 2 quite a bit because we just recently were playing it. We jumped back on it here about, when was that, like a year ago?
Well, this last summer. I did this last summer. Right. And then a year
we
ago.
Jumped on it to play raids together about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And that was a blast. We jump on every week, every Sunday. Every Sunday afternoon, we jumped on and we're trying to beat the Leviathan raid. We beat it and then we jumped onto a few other raids and it was just a lot of fun. I am now burnt out of Destiny 2. Tyler, I know you're not. And Sam, our friend Sam also is not at times. And Daniel as well is still playing, and I'm sure I'll come back to it at some point. So those are kind of timeless ones that, you know, we can't talk about PS4 without mentioning those, I think.
That's an interesting thing to bring up, because I think in this generation, in terms of console games, there was this new, I guess you could call it a genre of games that were games as service, or games of, I don't know how you say it, games as service, I think, which is kind of like a MMO light version. MMOs are very popular on PC, and they're starting to make their way over to console. But you got games like Destiny, Division, Anthem. What's that other one, that the Monster Hunter one?
Monster Hunter World?
No. It's like Monster Hunter, but it's not Monster Hunter. It looks like Fortnite, but it's Monster Hunter.
Oh yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking
about. Dauntless.
Dauntless. Yeah. Yep.
So you got these games that they come out and they, you know, you have your, it's online. You got like somewhat of a main story. You have PvP things and you have raids, and then they just keep adding to it. Instead of saying, okay, we're going to release game one and then 2 years from now we're going to release game two, they say we're going to release game one and then it's going to last for 4 or 5 years and we're just going to keep releasing expansion packs, new maps, new weapons, new, you know, armor, all this stuff, and it keeps people invested in one game instead of making them buy a whole new one. That was a huge thing that happened this console generation, And specifically with, yeah. with our group of friends, I would say Destiny is the biggest one by far, where we played a lot together. And then, at least for me, I'll play and I'll be super into it. And then I'll play for a couple months and I'm like, okay, that's enough. And then, you know, 6 months from then, they'll release a new expansion and some other friends will play it. And they're like, no, you got to try it out. And then I'll try it out or I'll read a review and then I'll be hooked again for another 4 months. And it's like a cycle and it just keeps going. And monetarily, I mean, that's a fantastic business model. I mean, you get people to spend so much money on a game. Destiny 2 came out, what was that, like 2017, 2018?
I think it was 2016.
2016.
No, it was 2017 because I remember going to the store with you, Micah. We both talked about how we were not going to get Destiny 2. And then one day you walked in the room, you're like, you want to go get Destiny 2 from Walmart? And I was like, sure.
Yeah, you're
and we
right.
We both went and got it.
Yeah, you're right. End of 2017.
Well, you buy this game for $60 and then a year from then, there's a new expansion that's $40 and you spend $40 more, and then a year from then there's $40 more for a new expansion, and it keeps going. And that way the developers, they don't have to make an entirely new game, they just need to make a little slice and they'll add it, and they'll, you know, there's so much more content. And I like, it's not like it's bad, because I think especially with Destiny, I think the new content that they've added has only built up the base game, and I think it's a lot of fun. But yeah, no, the way games are going, you got Godfall that's coming out on the PS5 really soon, on launch, I think, and it's the same kind of model. I'm sure it's going to be a relatively good game. And then, you know, a year from now, they're going to add a whole bunch of new stuff, and you're going
to... I'm really interested in that game. I might get that game. I think I talked to you about that, Keon. One of the things that they've been saying in their trailers is... everything that's in the game is going to be there on launch. Like, boom, it's going to be there. We're not planning. We don't have this big thing. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm assuming they're probably going to expand it at some point. But I think what you just said was true, is a good guess. Maybe about a year from now, they might consider adding some new content. But I know they hammered on it. I'm trying to find a tweet that I tweeted a while back, because what you just said about the business model is totally true. I've spent more on Destiny 2 than I've spent on any other game. And I didn't realize it until I saw a tweet. Someone was like, what's the most you've ever spent on a game? And I was like, oh, shoot. Well, I bought a couple season passes. And also, I bought every expansion. Oh, dang. And then I bought the game a second time. Like, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because it had Forsaken. I spent a ton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Destiny 2 expansions, are you playing Beyond Light? It comes out tonight.
Comes out, yeah, it does, and I want to play it. I will be playing it. I don't know when I'm going to be playing it. I probably won't.
Did you
buy
get
it right
it?
Off the
oh,
bat.
Oh, you didn't buy it yet. Okay.
I didn't pre-order it, and the reason why is because on
PS5
Thursday
costs
I'm spending
$500. A lot of money. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, also trying to save for a house. So there's a number of things on the docket.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I cut you off, Keelan.
No, I think I said everything that I was planning on saying.
Can I say one more thing about Destiny 2? That game, I think I have a fondness to that game that's a little above the average Joe in our group that played it, because something that also came to fruition, at least in what I can see in this section, is that there is a game that allowed us to all stay connected, and Destiny was one of those things. And so we've transitioned now into that stage where games, because so many of them are online, it's a great way for us to all stay connected to each other. And the raids were the best thing, in my opinion, because it put us through a very much so shared experience rather than us all just doing the same thing with each other, which is what you can do in Destiny 2. If you do a raid, you're going through challenges. People get mad. I got mad, you know, and like people would drop the ball. I would drop the ball. It was so frustrating, but I love those things because you go through those things when you're with people in real life. And so it gave me an opportunity to do that with you guys again. Keelan, you being in Washington, Micah, you being in Salem, Daniel in Washington, Sam in Salem, me in Southern Oregon, just like, that meant a lot to me. And that's why I really liked doing that, and that's why we get back into it from time to time too.
Yeah, so. Totally. That's the best thing is we do a raid and we're all in a party together, and we're we're all talking the entire time, and we're cracking jokes. You know, at times we're like, okay, we need to get down to business. What do we need to be doing? How can we be better to solve this puzzle? But I mean, we're just, you know, giving each other crap the whole time, just having a good time together. And that's what's so good is, yes, because, you know, we could in theory do that all on a Discord call or a Zoom call where we're just like sitting in front of our screen talking to each other and not really doing anything. But it emulates that experience of like, you guys all go to the park one day and you're playing baseball together, or you're playing soccer. You're just messing around with your friends. You're playing, you're having fun. And I think that, yeah, that's such a good experience. And I'm so glad, that especially Destiny, it allows that. I know that, I mean, Jordan has hopped in on a few of our raids.
Jordan, yeah, too.
And that's, yes, someone who, you know, like, for you two, I don't think you guys would probably, like, reach out, you know, and just have a conversation.
I would. I love Jordan. Well, Jordan, if you're listening, bro.
I've actually joined Jordan's Minecraft server a few times while he's playing.
I just got back into, like, Minecraft.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, hey. I'm like, hey, dude, is this your house? Like, I'll just jump on.
Well, so, yeah. I guess what I was trying to get at was, like, we are much more likely to play a game together than to just call each other and mm-hmm. talk. And I think the shared experience is such a great aspect to all of it, because we're all doing the same thing. It's not like, oh, well, yeah, I'm talking to you on the phone, but I'm trying to cook dinner, or I'm trying to do this. What are you doing? Like, we're all, like, digitally, we're all there. We're in the same spot. We're doing the same thing. We're working together. And I think that's really good, especially right now within the past, what, like 8 months or whatever, however long this lockdown, not lockdown, but this pandemic has been going on. You know, it's been really good to be able to connect with you guys and
mm-hmm.
and talk and do silly stuff like shoot alien dogs and whatnot. Yeah. But,
and shout out to Tucker Rojas.
Yes.
When we were, when Micah, when I first got my PlayStation 4, and Micah actually, like I said, came into the room and said, dude, let's go get Destiny 2. I was like, okay, whatever. And we went and got it. And we started playing, and it was fun. We were having a good time. We played it a lot, actually, when we first bought it. And we would do, like, the weekly things all the time. We always did the weekly things over and over and over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, we found out about the raids. We didn't even know they existed. But then we found out about the raids. And Tucker Rojas, he offered to, like, carry us through.
Because he was, beat, like, it several times already.
He was a beast.
He had beat it. Yeah, he had beat it several times already with his friends. So he agreed to take us through it. And
he was like our captain.
And he was so good at it. You guys, do you remember? He was patient with us, but he also, like, he would flip you crap. So if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, he would look at you in the eye and he would be like, what do you think you're doing?
He really would.
One of the funniest guys.
But then at the same time, oh my gosh. But he was at the same time so funny. And he would bring this humor to it before we even started the next round. So shout out to him. Us being that raid almost made me cry, because it was totally for me. It was like for Tucker. Because when Tucker was taking us through it, we never beat it. We got close. He would take us through the glitch sections and show us the next part. Do you remember that? He showed us the final boss, mm-hmm. even though, like, just to be ready for it if we ever got there. But we never beat it. And then the team just kind of disbanded and it never happened. What were you going to say, Micah?
Rest in peace, Tucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say next, is he ended up passing away. And so
like a freak accident.
Yeah, freak accident. And so when
that was my last couple memories of Tucker was him walking through, and that was, it was big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
without Destiny, and I don't want to get like sappy or anything, but I mean, without Destiny, my last memory with Tucker would probably be from high school, like many, many years ago.
Mine would have been from like Pee Wee Baseball, like a long time ago. I remember he was like, okay, because Tyler, you and I were the runners in that section. And he was like, we need some way for you guys to distinguish your voices. What should we do? And I was like, I can talk like Mickey. And he was like, actually, let's try that. Let's do it. And then I literally talked like Mickey for the whole rest of the night.
Worked.
And he was like,
yeah,
he was like, Everyone's doing terrible except for Micah. You're doing great with your Mickey voice. Love it. Keep it up. Like, he was like encouraging us or like bringing us down when we needed it. And yeah, that was the best. That was probably my favorite Destiny memory of all time was that. We did that, I think, a couple weekends with Tucker. So that was awesome.
Yeah. Good times. I mean, yeah, say what you will about video games, but those memories would not exist without them. So
definitely true. And I think that kind of transitions into what you wanted to talk about, Keelan, was like what's changed. And I think for us, a lot has changed. For us, the three of us used to live within 5 minutes of each other or, you know, on the same college campus. And now we all live in very different, you know, hundreds of miles from each other. Mm-hmm. And something that connects us, well, something that connects us lately is this podcast, which has been a blast, but something that's been connecting us the whole time has been video games, has been PlayStation 4 in particular.
Yeah.
And that's why that's the reason that I came up with this idea for this episode was I was just thinking like, man, I'm so excited for PlayStation 5. And I was just kind of thinking back to like Killzone Shadowfall, the first game I ever played on PS4. And I was thinking back to Assassin's Creed Black Flag and thinking back to like the first epic RPG Lord of the Rings game in Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor and War and all those things. And just thinking like, man, a lot has happened in the past 7 years. Tyler and I are married now to beautiful wives who sort of play games sometimes, but you know,
we force them to.
That's kind of true. But they realize it too. It's not just like an you know, at times it can be like an obsession that we're, you know, we're playing too many video games instead of doing other things that are more important. But a lot of the time it's because we're connecting with people that we love, people that we've been apart from, even though we're used to not being apart. We're used to being right in the same space.
And the being married part of it actually has helped me to realize that and come to terms with it face first, because Melanie, my wife, not a gamer. Like, I've even tried like different games and tried to like get her way into it. And she's actually coming around a little bit. She's starting to play some games, which is great. But it's not her job to do that, first off. And then secondly, but the other part of it is that video games also do still hold quite a bit of a stigma with them. Like I mentioned, I am like now more than ever, I'm so unashamed about it. I tell people that I play video games. I don't even care. But there are people in the past that I did not tell that I played video games because I was kind of ashamed of it. You know what I mean? There's this stigma to it. There's this, aren't you, especially now at this stage in our life, you know, all three of us, we're out of college. And so there's this idea that, okay, so the video game stage is supposed to be coming to a close. Yeah. You should be done.
Once you grow up, then you'll start doing real life
things. I have friends from college who are my age who are saying like, okay, well, I graduated. I got to stop playing video games at some point because I don't think a man should be playing video games. It's like, why? And so, oh, because it's a game. You know, yeah, there's still, there's very much still a stigma around video games. And I think that's.
Yeah. Well, and I've had to, like, especially earlier on in our marriage, I had to bring up my arguments, and I didn't bring them up at first. At first, it was like, oh, maybe it's over. Maybe I do need to stop playing video games. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, why? I was like, what is a good, like, okay, if I was straight up addicted, could not stop, I can't stop playing video games, I've got a really great balance going right now. I'm doing fine. Like I excel at my job. I mean, not to toot my own horn too much, but I excel at my job. You know, I give a lot of time to my job, extra time that I'm not paid for. I am very intentional, I feel like, with my wife. I could be better always, and I hope that I always continue to improve. But like, I don't set those priorities aside for video games, but I also don't feel like I have to give up video games entirely to be able to do that. And then I start to think like, there's plenty of other hobbies out there. Why are those not given that kind of a stigma? And so I think it's just very interesting. But anyway, so I'm getting a little off topic.
Yeah, well, one of the big topics that I had over this past year, well, oh geez. Okay, so time is really weird right now. It was actually last school year, so I guess at this point, you know, it was almost probably like 10 months ago when we had this conversation with my group of friends. But we were talking about games, movies, reading books, etc., and how they were a quote-unquote waste of time. And I think that's sad. You know, like recreation is... These people who I was talking to were considering it to be a waste of time because it's not bettering yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, or whatever. And so obviously it's a waste of time. But I think it's very important to have those times in your daily life to sit back and relax. And whether that is reading a book, watching a movie, a TV show, you know, playing a game outside, playing a game inside on a game system, it's rough. You know, moving forward, I think, you know, games are becoming much more of a respectable art form. You look at games like Red Dead Redemption 2, Last of Us Part 2, God of War. These games that are putting forth this really compelling story, these very well-written characters and the music and like everything that goes behind it. It's, in my opinion, it's the next step in media. You know, you go from books from just reading, and then you go to movies where you're just watching, and then a game is melding like every single type of media together, and it's more interactive. So in my opinion, you know, you're more invested in the story because you're actually taking part of it. You know, you're not just watching it, you're actually doing the things. And I think that's really powerful when it comes to storytelling. And yeah, like I said, you look at games like especially Last of Us Part 2, which just recently came out, and we did a podcast episode on that. But it dives deep into a lot of like really prevalent issues in today's society, and these characters are so nuanced and well written, and they don't exist outside of video games. You know, at least now I know there's an HBO series coming out with Last of Us, but you know who knows how long it's gonna take until they get to the Last of Us Part 2, years and years and years from now. But no, I think video games are a very, very strong way of telling a message, showing a message, or telling a story, or anything. It's unmatched, in my opinion. You can't tell the stories you can tell in video games in movies, you know? Because it's the same thing with TV shows versus movies. Movies last like an hour and a half to 2.5 hours on average, right? Games last... you know, upwards of like 20 to 30 hours. Same thing with TV shows. That's why I like TV shows more than movies, because you have so much more time with the characters. And then video games take that to the next level. It's not only that you're spending more time with these characters, you're interacting with
playing,
them.
You're playing as them.
You're doing the actions, and it adds so much more weight to the story. And that's not to say that games can't be fun. You can't do like a stupid fun game like Spyro or Jak and the Daxter, Ratchet and Clank. That's still a lot of fun. But games like Last of Us Part 2 and Red Dead Redemption, where it's more grounded and it's more character driven, those stories would not be nearly as impactful, in my opinion, if they were told in a movie or a TV show. And I see moving forward, it's still probably going to be a hot minute before the rest of the world takes video games a lot more seriously. But I think we're moving towards that, where it's going to be more a more acceptable form of media. And I'm excited for that, because I think once that happens, it's going to kind of open the floodgates, and there's going to be a lot more serious stories told, and a lot more people are going to be investing in creating games and things. And I think it's going to lead to some very, very, very cool innovations in regards to storytelling and gameplay as a whole. But yeah, sorry, that was kind of a tangent. I know we were talking.
No, that's great. I enjoy all of that. I think I agree with you. I think to some extent it's almost like a generational thing, as far as the stigma in video games. I think our generation is one of the last generations to kind of poo-poo video games, in a sense. 'Cause a lot of the new generations, like, there's more girls playing video games than I've ever seen now, that are our age and younger. Like, it's a more wide range of thing. Like, people, they'll have a console, and they'll eat, like, a lot of influencers too. Like, you know, I don't watch a lot of influencers, but like influencers on TikTok or on YouTube or on Instagram or whatever also stream. Like that's something that they do. They, you know, they play video games too. Just because it's another, you know, world that they dabble in, and that's, you know, I think that's cool. I think it's more widespread than it was, you know, 10, 12 years ago, Keelan. I think I agree with you. I think it's moving that direction.
And there's also the aspect of like when we grew up, our parents didn't usually play the video games, and that's not because they felt like they couldn't, but because they bought their game console for their kids. And so that's what we've seen. So those people that are saying, I'm a man now, I'm not allowed to play video games, it's because that's what they saw their parents do. That's the only thing that can give them that stigma, is my parents never did it, so I shouldn't do it either if I'm going into that stage of my life where I'm supposed to be a man now. But there is also, like, you know, people poo-poo it all the time. I literally just, like, I hope this doesn't insult you, Keelan, but I told somebody the other day that you started streaming, and they laughed. And I was like, are you kidding? Excuse me, because this person was like trying to do their own, you know, side hustle thing too. And I was like, well, excuse me, my brother's made $80. How much have you made on your side hustle so far? Zero. That's what I thought. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For real.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I mean, if we want to get into that, I mean, I streamed for 2 months, 2.5 months before I was even given the opportunity to make money off of it. And, you know, it's a grind, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of work, putting a lot of work in, and you're not going to see a lot, come out of it. And you just got to keep going. And Mike and I talked about this in regards to the podcast and stuff. There was a video that he sent me that was kind of all about that. You know, it's like, you know, if you want to get into content creation, whether that be podcast, streaming, YouTube, or whatever it is, you're going to have to stick with it. It's not going to happen overnight, you know? And that's really hard for me to explain, even to my friends back home, to my parents, because I'm living at home. I'm living with my parents right now. And I have been applying for jobs, and I've been looking for income. It's, at least in Northwest Washington, it's virtually impossible. I haven't even gotten a reply to, like, all of my job application. It's hard. It's rough out there. And so I could just say, you know what, okay, I'm going to just keep applying for warehouse jobs and blah, 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 and then spend my off time twiddling my thumbs. Or I can, you know, do something I'm passionate about, and hopefully, you know, within a couple of years, maybe it'll come to a fruition where I'm able to make money off of it. But
even if it's not your main source of income, it's very smart too, the word that they use in the, is to diversify your income. And so if you've got something else that's coming in on the side, yeah, great. You know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Especially if it's something that you love, that's a passion.
Yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, yeah, I was like, you know, I play video games fairly regularly, almost daily. A little less now since I'm streaming, and it's a little more of a quote unquote, task for me to video game and everything. But I was like, you know what, I'm playing games very often, why not just invest a little bit of money into a camera, a mic, and a capture card, and then that way I can be playing games and having fun just like I normally would, but there's the chance that I can make some money on the side about it. And so far, I mean, it's been heck of a journey, but I mean, I've been very much enjoying it, and it's been panning out a little bit. Yes, Micah.
And that is exactly why I started this podcast. I started this podcast because I was thinking, you know, I could go out and get a different job, but that different job might be pretty much the same, where, you know, I'm working for a paycheck, and you know, then I'm coming home and doing the things that I really want to do, which is hang out with my wife, play video games, and watch movies. And so then I was like, well, why don't we turn that into something that isn't just, you know, quote unquote, a waste of time, but is something more creative and is something that might someday take off and actually be, if not a side, you know, if not a full-time job, at least some other source of income. And podcasts especially is a very, very slow burn. I think YouTube channels and podcasts are a very slow burn. But if you put in the time and you put in the effort, I mean, we're only in August, September, October. We're in our sixth month right now. We're in the middle of our sixth month going.
But like, people will find it, and now you've got this long list of content that they can go into.
Yeah.
And they can, like, literally, I mean, for lack of a better term, they can build a relationship with you by listening to all that content.
Yeah.
And then they're looking forward to the next episode.
Right. Totally. So, and yeah. With the pandemic and everything, I started it in the middle of a pandemic. So there has been absolutely no rhyme or reason to, you know, what the content is or when it's released or anything. The views or listens or downloads are all over the place, but I don't care. And something that people talk to me about, they'll be like, because they know I have a podcast, like people at my job or at church or whatever will be like, so how many downloads are you getting now, you know? And I tell them, and they're kind of like, oh, cool, you know, like they're like waiting for it to explode. And I don't care what those people think. I really don't. I don't at all. I don't care what they think, because in 5 years from now, they're still going to be hating their job, and I might have a steady half income from this that I'm going to be enjoying, and it's going to be the best. I mean,
and that's the thing, and this for you and Keelan, it doesn't, like, it really doesn't matter even if that didn't happen.
I agree,
because you enjoy it.
Yes,
like you enjoy making this. I love this. This has been, doing these podcasts has been actually very, very nice, because we get to, like Keelan mentioned earlier, the shared experience. This is actually, even though we're just sitting and talking to each other now, because it's a podcast, it's a shared experience. So it's all of those things now. So we get to have that together, which I think is great. And Keelan, with your streaming, like you said, you're going to play video games anyway. You might as well hop online and let people watch you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And so, you know, consistency is key. And that's why Micah and I sat down and digitally talked to each other through Zoom. like a couple weeks ago, about
way, way more than 6 feet apart.
Yeah. Where we wanted to lay down a schedule, because it's good to have a plan and to have something that you're striving for, and, you know, a specific schedule. I think that really benefits you. Same could be said about streaming. This is something I need to work on, but like, I want a schedule, you know, I want people to know when I'm going to be online so that they can tune in and stuff. Same thing with the podcast. We want people to know, like, okay, well, on, you know, Thursday/Friday, we can expect an episode. We're building that with social media. They can follow us there, and then they can get a more accurate take on, like, when exactly our episodes are going to be live or whatever. But,
Which, can you plug the social media right now? What is it?
Flix_and_clicks on Instagram.
Yes.
Flicks and Clicks.
And
I'm pretty sure if you search Flicks and Clicks, or if you search like the hashtag Flicks and Clicks with X's, FLIX and CLIX, I'm pretty sure we're the only people who have used that hashtag Flicks and Clicks. So,
and
there's every time I do it, it's like fewer than 100 posts. I'm like, yep, that's us.
There also will be a Twitter. I have been meaning to make one, but I have postponed it a lot. And so I need to get on that. But there will be a Twitter. And we'll start like cross promoting.
And that's the beauty of it being a slow burn, is like, you know, there's deadlines to these things, sort of, but it also is not really that big of a deal. We're building it up as we go. And because this is my third job, if you want to call it a job, like I've got a full-time job, I've got an internship, and I've got this. And so, you know, it not to say it's like my third priority. I mean, in a lot of ways it is, but it's also just something that's just a total blast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're nearing on an hour and 50 minutes. I don't know if I'm...
Here's the thing. I know this is a Fatty Daddy episode, and if you're still listening, I don't know how much of it has been spewed on the cutting room floor from Keelan's edit, but I don't know. But I still have one question. I have one question for you.
Go
guys.
For it.
What do you think is going to happen in our lives in the span of PlayStation 5? Keelan is going to get married. Tyler and I might buy houses. We might have kids. Someone might get a dog. You know, like,
hey,
crazy.
I already have a dog.
Well, there you go. Someone else. You might have another dog.
Yeah. Really quick before we get into that, I just want to, so Micah and Tyler have both gone through a lot, between you know, getting a PS4 getting a PS4 and now. And I, you know, I went to college, but it's what's weird for me is I'm physically, mentally, relationally, like I'm very close to where I was when I got a PS4 for me. I, you know, during the, you know, I was at home, I got a PS4 and then I ended up going to college, but now I'm back home. I'm single. I'm relatively in a similar area. And so it's really cool to see the transitions that you guys have gone through, within that time. And then, you know, compare and contrast it. Not that I'm, you know, trying to, you know, pout and cry that I, you know, I'm not married and blah, blah, blah.
No, but yours is coming with PS5, dude. I mean, I'm serious.
Well, yeah, no. And that,
even if it's not next year, in 7 years from now, the PlayStation 5 will probably still be going. There's no PlayStation 6 yet.
Yeah,
you know?
I am really excited to think. I'll probably go last on that topic, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, let's see. Well, yeah, I'll leave it up to you guys. What do you guys think is going to happen within the next couple of years?
Well, I was just going to say. So we have gone through some transitions, quite a few transitions with PS4, but I think the real next chapter. If I was to say, there's a next chapter. I think it's coming next. I don't think we've opened a new chapter, Micah and I, with the marriage that we are now married, but
not to each other,
not to each other, but we are both married to our wives,
to hot chicks, not each other. Yes. Just want to
double down on that triple dog dip, right? So, but we're still like that college. We're still like that college stage. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got married. That's a big transition. That's a big change. But we've got that college feel still, because we still hang out with our college friends. When Micah and I have hung out in the last several years, it's still similar in some ways to how it was in college. It's different for sure because we're all married now. But it's still that college. It's just all us young adults still together. And so I think that next chapter is going to be opened. I mean, honestly, 7 years, come on. I'm 25 years old. I couldn't figure out how old I was. I'm 25 years old. 7 years, I'm going to be 32. I better be getting that chapter started.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So I think that's what's going to happen next. In the PS5, that's what I'm looking for. So
I'm just thinking about all the things that might happen in our 20s, and that's going to be PlayStation 5. All of us most likely are going to be like live out our 20s playing PlayStation 5. I mean, obviously we're going to do other things, but like in terms of the gaming aspect of it, Keelan, you're dabbling a little bit in PC gaming. I just don't really think I'll get there. I don't know. I just feel like if I'm relaxing, I'm on the couch with a controller, you know, not at a desk, but anyway, but yeah, the 20s, I mean, that's going to be us. We're going to be 32 and 30. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to, these people that are starting to join us, in this long, like Sam is really serious. He's taking kind of a break from video games right now to focus on some life things, which is great. But he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna buy a PS5 here in the next few months. Daniel's gonna try to get one online on launch day. And
Keelan.
So Keelan no. as well is planning on as soon as he gets some cashola. And so yeah, so we're all really just I'm excited to all be on this PlayStation 5 thing together with our like 5, 6, 7, 8 people that we all know that are all kind of moving that direction.
Yeah, I'm thinking back on where I was when I first got the PS4, and granted, I was a high school student, and so obviously what I was thinking, what was going to happen in the future when I was a high schooler was not realistic or healthy, in my opinion. But in my mind, I was thinking, you know, at the time, like, oh, of course I'm going to be married by the time I'm 20, you know, like that's just a given. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm going to stay in Washington. I'm going to do all this stuff. And, you know, now I I ended up going to Oregon for school. I came back. I'm single. I don't know if I'm going to end up moving back to Oregon to do some work, or if I'm going to stay here, or if I'm going to move somewhere. You know, everything is so much in the air right now for me. And that's scary in a way, but at the same time, I'm really excited. Lord willing, if this podcast is still a thing by the time the PS6 comes out, or whatever they call it, we can do this episode again, and then we can look back and see... You know, especially this might be selfish, but for me, like like I said, everything's so much up in the air. I have no idea where I'm going to be, you know, in a year from now, in 2 years from now. So it's exciting. It's a little scary, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm hoping that regardless of what happens, that we're all able to regularly connect, whether that be via podcast or Destiny 2/3 or whatever, you know, whatever it is, where we can
Destiny 2.5 final mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Expansion 7.
But I'm especially me being such a big like media guy and someone who loves storytelling in general. I'm really excited for the innovations when it comes to interactive storytelling. With video games, I think that's going to be, there's going to be a lot of really cool, in-depth games that come out within the next, 7-ish years. And I'm very excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, Micah and I pick up our PS5s on Thursday. That means PS4, see you later.
Later.
Which means,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the next episode after this one comes out will be impressions with us three again. Hopefully, I don't know if we've talked to you, Tyler, about it, but
I think we have.
Okay, I'm up for that.
Yeah, I think we're also, if Daniel has it in that time and has a chance to get some impressions in, we might snag him too if he's able to get one.
Yeah, and that'll be really fun, especially for me, because I'll be able to ask all the questions and
totally because you
I won't have it. Yeah, but that's very exciting. Does anyone have any final thoughts before we close it up? We're almost at 2 hours. I don't know if I'm going to cut anything from this episode. I think all of this has been really good. I don't, you know, a 2-hour episode, I don't think is the worst thing in the world, but.
And I think we would, I mean, if we weren't time permitted, we'd probably split it into two episodes, honestly, yeah. But because it's timely, it's, you know, PlayStation 5 comes out in 3 days.
That's crazy.
I mean, wait. Monday. 3 more sleeps, Tyler.
By the time this comes out, it might be tomorrow. Right?
What?
Yeah, if you're listening to this.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
It depends on when you listen to this, but if you listen to this, you know, this is the week.
By the time it's pretty crazy. By the time you listen to this, the PS5 might come out a week ago.
Well, I mean, I got a PS5 in 2013, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Cool. This has been awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. A really cool thing about the next generation, at least in the next few months, is all the games, save one, is going to be cross-platform for a while. And so I know the stock of the PS5 has been a little limited. But a lot of the games will have a free, if you buy it on PS4, it'll have like a free PS5 upgrade. And so we'll all still be playing the same games. It's just the graphical fidelity of them will be different. And the little, you know, bells and whistles will be, different. But that being said, it's not like I'm going to be, you know, in the Stone Age while all these guys are on, you know, the Bronze Age. Is that what comes after the Stone Age? Bronze Age?
No, but yes, you will. You will be in the Stone Age, and we'll be in 2020.
We just gotta get you.
I'm just trying to make you feel
good. I tried, and now I've spent too much money on other things that I'm gonna wait until I have some more money in my pocket before I buy one. But you know, maybe hopefully by January.
Way to be responsible.
Responsible by just taking the money I was going to spend on a PS5 and spending it on video games and microwavable pizza pockets. Yes.
I mean, you're single. You got to do it while you can. Those pizza pockets aren't going to heat themselves.
That's been, especially since I've been here at Daniel's place, my diet has just been frozen microwavable things.
Shout out to Daniel's house for housing Keelan in this wonderful episode.
Did you know you can burn Hot Pockets in the microwave? Mm-hmm. I didn't, but I did. Yep. I do now.
Learn something new every day.
Daniel, if you're listening to this, your microwave is a beast. It's so strong. I know now, moving forward, to microwave things for less than the recommended time on the box. But when I first got here, kind of screwed up my Hot Pockets.
But they were hot.
So they were hot and very crunchy. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Next week's episode will be their PS5 impressions. I will be there to kind of mediate the discussion. Mike is doing a dance right now. Tyler's doing a dance right now. I'm doing a dance right now. Anyway,
it's true. I can verify that.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week on the PS5 impressions of Flicks and Clicks. Goodbye.
I thought maybe if we was having a roast chicken one night or something.